It's Sunday, August 15th, and this is the regular monthly meeting of the KPFK Local Station Board. I'm Michael Novick, the chair, and our secretary, Janine Roan, will call the roll. You need to unmute, Janine.
Thank you. So I will start with Michael Adler.
Present.
Thank you. Alan B.
Alan Beek here.
Thank you. Fred Blair.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Childs. I'm looking in the waiting room. I don't see anyone in the waiting room. So Bella DeSoto. Jan Goodman. We have a phone coming in. It may be Bella, but anyway, so on to Eric C. Jacobson.
Here.
Thank you. Avelia Jones.
Present.
Thank you. Ali Lexa requested an excused absence. Barbara Marbach. Michael Novick.
Present.
Thank you. James Osborne.
Present.
Thank you. Robert Payne. Okay. Lydia Ponce.
Present.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Roberson.
Present.
Thank you, Janine Roan, and I'm present. Mansoor Sabah. Oscar Ulloa.
Present. Present.
Thank you. Polina Vasiliev. Beth Van Guten. Harvey Wasserman. Kiana Williams.
Also requested an excused absence. She said she was working.
Okay, true, right. Mo Thomas, our interim GM.
Someone just came in. Thank you. That is quorum. Someone came in on the phone with a 202 number. Is that a I don't know if that's Mo, I think.
Paul.
I'm sorry.
Paul, are you muted?
Paul Roberson? I'm muted, yes.
No, Paul is here. Somebody came in the waiting room. Here's Robert Payne also. Just
Marisol Cruz?
Also Raymond.
No, no. Someone came in on a 202 telephone number. Is that Mo Thomas? Or?
I came in. I don't have a 202 telephone number.
Okay, 202, I think, is the D.C. exchange. That's what I was asking. Can the person who called in on the 202 number please say if you're...
I'm Miguel Goldfeller.
My name is Raymond Goldfeller.
Oh. Yeah, we're not asking everybody to identify themselves. Did you say that was Miguel?
Yes, correct.
Okay, welcome. Thank you. So, Miguel Calzada is our incoming general manager. We'll be taking office officially on the 15th of next month, but welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we do have quorum, and the first order of business will be a land acknowledgement and call to comportment by Lydia Ponce, if that's okay, Lydia.
It's always okay. It's a great day to have everyone together in unified and respectful manner and being better relatives than we were a month ago. just making sure that we all know that this is all unceded indigenous land. No matter where you're at, no matter where you go on this continent of the Turtle Island, Canada, United States, or divided states, and Mexico, and further south. So I want to just acknowledge that I'm right now on Tongva land. I'm over here west side at Sagna. And everywhere in the north, we have Atavia. In the northwest, we have Chumash. And then south, we have Hachaman. I just wanted to offer some words of kindness. We know that the numbers are going up with this pandemic, and it seems like we're not doing better. However, just try to take care of yourselves and try to take care of others. Be as gentle as you possibly can with yourself in order for you to be gentle with others. That's all I ask. All that I ask is that if you are asked to mask up, please mask up, just because we don't know enough about virus, and we all need to have scientific evidence for everyone to decide what's best for them in regards to traveling, visiting, and supporting our community, our relatives. Just be that relative, be that person who says, you know, I don't know, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm not demanding, I'm actually asking as a relative myself, and just asking that you just pretty much keep others in your hearts and prayers and your thoughts and your meditations, because we don't know which way this is going to go. And until we meet again next month, we should just be able to walk it with those words, walk with those words of kindness and compassion. Thank you. Aho
metakuyasin. Oh, thank you. I noticed that there.
Sorry to interrupt. I did respond that I'm present. Evidently, the system had me muted, so I just want to be sure that my presence is recorded. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, thanks. That's Beth Van Gunten is here. I saw that Polina Vasilyev also came in the waiting room, and our general manager, Mo Thomas, also with us. Thank you, Mo, for joining us. So the next item of business is the approval of the proposed agenda. People did receive it, and it's posted to the KPFDX website if you are a non-member of the LSB and want to see what the agenda is. Is there a motion to that effect? Or Beth, is your hand back up?
I have my hand up because my name
okay.
is incomplete. It's Alan Beek, B as in boy, E-E-K.
Okay, can somebody who's hosting rename him? There we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is Beth. I put my hand up earlier so that I could announce my presence, and I don't have any way to take it down. But if you need a motion, so moved. Let us accept the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Is there any objection, Lawrence? You have a hand up as well?
Yeah, I was wondering if you could, for the benefit of the stream, if that agenda could be read as we go along.
Sure, I'll go through it quickly. It's basically the first set of business items is the call to order, the roll call, the proposed agenda. We need to approve any excused absences. We read the Pacifica mission statement. We make an appeal for donations for the station. We appoint a timekeeper, we set the time for adjournment, and then we proceed with our business. We have a report on the previous business and the LSB elections, review the IGM report and discussion, public comment, the first set of public comment. We'll have a report from the Finance Committee and the Treasurer, and a second set of public comments, and then we have the PMB directors and National Committee reports, followed by local committee reports, including from the Governance Committee, the Programming Oversight Committee, the Outreach Committee, and the final segment of public comments at that point, any new business at the end. Any objections to that proposed agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed with it. Next item of business then is the Pacifica mission statement. Is there someone who would like to read that? or is prepared to do so. Okay, I'll do that. The Pacifica Foundation mission statement: to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934 as amended. In radio broadcasting operations, to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purpose of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. That is the Pacifica mission statement that's embedded in our bylaws. Going on, we want to consider the excused absence request. We had two requests for excused absences I'm aware of, from Ali Alexo, who said he might join us late, and from we're not taking comments from the public right now, Sue, so you can leave your hand down for the moment. From Molly Lex and from Keanu Williams, is there a motion to accept the excused absence? I see a hand from Lawrence Reyes again. Did you raise your hand, Lawrence?
Yeah, I move to accept the request of excused absences, and I wanted to ask, when appropriate, Chair, if the members of the public that are candidates, if they could be given 30 seconds to introduce themselves.
Okay, any objections?
This is Beth. I wanted to point out that Mansoor also requested an excused absence.
Oh, okay. I hadn't seen that. Thank you. All right, so the three excused absence requests are for Ali Alexa, Mansoor Sabah, and Keanu Williams. Are there any objections? Okay, hearing none, those are approved. Paul, or does somebody else want to do the appeal for funds for the station? Any member of the board like to make that appeal, or perhaps the GM would like to do it?
Well, nobody's speaking it. I'll give it a shot, Michael.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
So the chair has taken the initiative to ask us to contribute to a fund that will become a matching fund during the fund drive, and I've made my contribution, and I'm not going to tell you how much, but whatever you could contribute would be, of course, very helpful in these very difficult times that KPFK is experiencing right now. So I don't know if that's sufficient, Michael, but that's the best I can do.
Yeah, everyone, of course, listening, members of the LSB or not, can donate. Go to kpfk.org and just click on the donate button or call in during the fund drive as it goes on. We do have a serious need for funds to maintain our operations, and we encourage everybody to do so to support free speech and radio powered by the people. Is there someone who can volunteer to be a timekeeper? We're trying to keep it to 90-second comments as people speak and wait for other people to speak before you get a second chance to speak on the board. Public comment also, we have 3 10-minute periods of public comment, and we'll be timing the speakers during that as well.
Chair, can I ask you to make a decision in regards to the 30-second request for those?
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. Thanks for that reminder. So that Lauren said I request that we give the members of the public who are running for the local station board 30 seconds just to identify themselves to everyone on the stream. Is that okay with the body? Okay, hearing no objection, I see Sue Cohen. I know that you're running. Did you want to identify yourself, Sue? You have to unmute.
Sorry. I have been a member of KPFK for 40 years. I was in membership department at KPFK for 19 years. I was the membership director for 10 years. I was a board op host. Lots of things, and I'm for the democratic election of LSB people. And to do that, they need to be informed, which means an on-air and online presence, so you can know who you're voting for. Thank you.
Great, thank you. I see also Michael Heiss and Maria Skelton, Michael and Ralph Hawkins. Michael, you want to go?
Yes, thank you, Michael. My name is Michael Heiss, running for local station board. I invite you all to read my statement on the candidate's website. As I like to say, I'm a longtime listener, but first-time local station board candidate. Grew up listening to BII, moved out here. I'm hoping that as part of the local station board, we can end the fractionalization, increase the listenership so as to increase the sponsorship base, put the station on a sound financial footing, and have a programming view aimed towards respecting the past, understanding the present, going to the future.
Not a whole campaign statement, just self-introduction. That's okay. Maria Skelton and then Ralph Hawkins and anyone else. Maria?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Well, it's morning on my side. So hello to everyone. My name is Maria Skelton. I am running. You said just a simple introduction. The station that I'm with, of course, is KPFK. What other information did you want me to give, or you wanted me to make it real quick and simple?
Yeah, that's fine. If you want to say anything about your experience, if you've been on any committees or...
I have not been on any committees. I am extremely involved in community events, helping reentry people get on their feet, finding jobs, et cetera. Volunteering at the juvenile hall, teaching Bible study. I don't know how much you want to
meet. Okay, sure. Thank you. And
thank
then,
you.
Ralph Hawkins?
Yes. I have specific experience in broadcast management at a couple of college radio stations, specifically as it relates to programming and engineering issues. My agenda is to grow our listener membership and restore fiscal solvency. I'm interested in fostering the next generation of, you know, broadcasters that can provide compelling programming and grow our listenership.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I'm retired from state service, and I was a bargaining rep for SEIU Local 1000.
Thank you. Okay, so are there any other people on the call from the public who wanted to introduce themselves as candidates? Otherwise, we'll move on.
Yes, Michael, it's Ruth Strauss.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Ruth. It's hard to see everybody at the same time.
Okay. Yes, hi. I'm Ruth Strauss, and I'm running. I'm a physician and first got involved by joining the community advisory board because of the strange advertisements during the fund drive that were actually medically dangerous. I'm now on the finance committee, the governance committee, and the program committee, and I'm enjoying being able to give back to KPFK for the first time in 30 years.
Thank you. And I see Marisol Cruz. Marisol?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Happy to be here. My name is Marisol Cruz. I'm a mother of three. My experience is being a listener. And as a college student back in the day when I volunteered for Sojourner Youth and with Mr. Velasquez with the morning news a couple times. So I'm running to bring a new fresh perspective on what the community needs as a community health worker for LA County and SEIU steward. I'm here to help and support the board and support the staff to bring out the best content and keep KPFK independent and let's keep it going.
Okay, thank you. So very gratifying to see candidates with us and have the public. I think, you know, both the experience of the GM search and now this experience of the LSB elections has shown that there's a lot of interest in KPFK with people with a lot of talents to contribute, and it gives us good hope for the future. Moving on, and thank you, Lawrence, for suggesting we do that. Is there someone who will serve as a timekeeper for the rest of the meeting?
I don't mind doing it. Michael, I'll do
okay,
my...
Okay, thanks. Rocio. So Rocio Rivas, our vice chair, will serve as timekeeper. We're trying to keep people to about 90 seconds on their comments, and thank everybody for, you know, seeking the floor before they speak. I don't know if somebody wants to set a time certain for adjournment today. The agenda that we approved is about a little bit under 3 hours, actually, and we started pretty promptly. So that would be about 1:30, I think. Is that okay? 1:30, time certain to conclude our business?
3 hours?
Yeah. I'm already occupied almost a half hour. Yes, Mr. Reyes?
Yeah, I'd like to move that we adjourn time certain at 1:30 p.m.
Jim, okay. 1 second.
All right, thank you. Any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, we'll set that. We could always extend it by a vote later if we need to, or we can certainly, if we're expeditious, maybe we'll finish sooner. So the secretary, please note that Jan Goodman has joined us. I saw a couple of other members that came on late. I think Robert Payne is here.
Yes, and I'm Bella is having difficulty and she's going to be on shortly.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Moving along, we have a brief report on the previous business. The local station board did vote last month to urge the general manager to air live candidate forums on the air here at KPFK, and to urge the Pacifica National Board to mandate that for all five stations. And I believe that the board did not do that, although there have been some Zoom candidate forums, and it's not clear to me if the NES is getting them posted on the air or carrying them live on the air, but I guess we'll hear more about that later. The LSB election process is underway. We have, I believe, the most listener nominees of any station here at KPFK. I believe there's something like 39 people running for the 9 seats. And as I say, that's very gratifying about the level of interest. And all the stations do have an array of candidates for the 9 listener seats and the 3 staff seats. And that ballots, I think, will be going out this week, and people can vote through the 15th. I think there is a motion later from the Outreach Committee again on the question of trying to have on-air candidate forums, so we will come back to that. So Mo Thomas is with us. Mo, did you want to make a report as the IGM? You'll need to unmute yourself, Mo. Doesn't seem to be able to. I will say that there was a kind of a policy statement from the IGM about not advocating as hosts on air programmers around the question of vaccines or vaccine skepticism, and just inviting guests on to explore the issues around the vaccine. And then a general policy on making sure that we have safe operations at the station in terms of masking, sanitation, and so on. And as I say, we have both the IGM on the call as well as the incoming general manager, Mikel Calzada, who will be taking office officially September 15th, but did visit the station this week. And I'm glad they're both on the call with us. Let me try Mo one more time. Mo Thomas, can you unmute if you want to at least acknowledge that you're with us? I don't know.
Can you send a ask to unmute one thing to the chat?
Yeah, let me try that.
Chair, may I speak?
Sure, please go ahead, Janine.
I'm wondering also if we could have Mikel say a few words. I think this is the first meeting he's attended.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea. Mikel, did you want to introduce yourself a bit to the people on the call?
Hi, good morning. I'm just now a listener of this board meeting. I've been following Pacifica. I've been doing my research. I've been following also your mission, and I think that Pacifica has the capacity and the assets and the assets to go forward. And as a listener, I've been discouraged by all the turmoil and some of the expressions I hear in the air that I would love not to hear. So I expect to do my best for KPFK starting September the 15th and try to smooth things and try to focus only in the professional aspects, following obviously the directions of the local board committee and the national board.
Thank you, and I'll just say that the local station board conducted a very extensive search for a new general manager when the vacancy opened, and Mikel was one of the people that we interviewed, one of the candidates you recommended for the position, and he's somebody who has a long experience with both commercial and non-commercial listener-sponsored radio, helped to start a number of stations, and I think he'll bring a wealth of experience and wisdom to KPFK. So thank you, Mikel, for accepting the position.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Was somebody asking? Is that Bella? Thank you. Thank you, Bella. And the secretary. Yeah, secretary will take note of your presence. So Actually, the next agenda item is public comment, and we have about 10 minutes for public comment at this time. If there are members of the public who want to speak, please request the stack. I think that's either star 9 on your phone or raise your hand if you're on a computer with... I see Sue Cohn. Let me look around the screen. All right, well, Sue, why don't you go ahead, and we'll see if other people want to speak.
Thank you. We are in a cash crunch now, and we need to increase our listenership. There are many things that apply to the cum of how many people are listening, but for cash, my secret plan is to get the LSB to help me by playing marketing director and calling the people who have left us, who contributed 150 or more to start with, are the highest rollers to start with, and ask them why they are no longer contributing to KPFK. Does that mean my time is up?
Rocio, are you keeping time at 90 seconds?
No, Shia, you have at least 40 seconds left.
Oh, thank you. And we should have a better online presence so we can get the youth, and also we can know who we're voting for, because that's one of our problems, is we don't know who we're voting for LSB. The board ops at KPFK are ill-trained, in my opinion, and they need to do something other than sleep and watch TV. They need to be watching the levels, and if there's a bunch of F-bombs in a show, they need to be empowered to pull the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. I see Andrew Weiss has a hand up. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yes, thank you, Michael. This is Andrew Weiss, 30-plus year listener, member, sponsor, and sometimes volunteer at KPFK in LA. And I am in the Inland Empire area, San Bernardino area. I am the founder and co-coordinator of the Pacifica Listener Forum, which is an independent group made up of, founded and managed by listeners on behalf of all the listeners of Pacifica Radio, as well as staff, management, and board members. We hold monthly forums, conference calls, that we invite all listeners of all five stations and all board members to participate in open discussions with other listeners and members, et cetera. And we'd like to invite the interim general manager, Mo Thomas, to once again join us. He's joined us twice before, and it's been very beneficial for all of us. And we welcome him back on his plan before his departure, as well as the incoming general manager. Our email contact is pacificalistenerforum@gmail.com. And I would like to request that the internal general manager, Mr. Mo Thomas, let us know when is the August report to the listener, dialogue with the listener, as well as the LSB dialogue with the listener for August, and if the incoming general manager will commit also to doing monthly dialogue with the listeners. We feel it's all very important to communicate with management and staff. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I see that Mo Thomas has unmuted himself. Mo, did you want to say anything further in terms of a report as the IGM? Okay, I guess not, or maybe later. Ruth Strauss has a hand up. Go ahead, Ruth.
Hi. Hi. I just wanted to say that looking at the pledge page, I don't know who designs it, but it's very user unfriendly. All the pledges, or rather the gifts, are listed vertically in a right-hand column that only shows five per page. So I went through it today. There are 22 pages. To the left of that column is a big blank white space. And I don't see why it couldn't be designed as it was in previous years, where there's four or five to a row, several rows on a page. And then, you know, whether or not it should be grouped by books and CDs or grouped by ascending price or whatever. But I think a lot could be done to reorganize that page so it's more user friendly and people can see things and actually not have to scroll through 22 pages to decide what they want to give. Thank you.
Thank you. Kim Kaufman asked for the stack in the chat. Go ahead, Kim.
Hi, it's Kim. My water just started boiling in the kitchen, but I'll make this quick. This is because Miguel and Mo Thomas are both on this call. KPFK's phone bill is over $100,000. KPFA's phone bill is one-tenth of that, I believe, like $10,000 or $20,000, something like that. Before there's any more talk of cutting programmers or cutting staff, please find a way to find out what KPFA is doing and cut those costs here, because, you know, we shouldn't be spending more money on AT&T than on staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comments? I don't see any further hands, so we'll move on to the agenda. We'll have the you wanted to speak again, Sue?
Pass. Okay. Thank you, Kim.
So the next item on the agenda is the Treasurer's Report and the Finance Committee. Fred Blair.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. This is Fred Blair. I'm the KPFK Board Treasurer. I sent out about a week ago, I sent out the fund drive, some spreadsheets for the fund drive and report on the fund drive at that point in time. We're now in day 27 of the fund drive, and the fund drive has, the fund drive has a total pledges of $154,000 and change. That's where fund drive daily average is now at $5,700 a day. This is, I guess you could say, it's a disaster. This fund drive has been going downhill, and this fund drive is at about 65% of what the spring fund drive daily average was. The spring fund drive that ran for, I believe, 45 days had a daily average of $9,000 a day. So KPFK at this point is in a definite KPFK is in a definite financial crisis over the fund drive. I don't know if we'll be able to raise enough money this month to pay our operational costs. I don't know what the plan is for September. Part of the problem is that no manager has shown, the general manager has not shown up at the local finance committee for months. And the manager that does show up is the business manager, Barry Brooks, and he really doesn't have insight into what the plans are for the station. So, that's the primary, picture of the finances at KPFK. Oh, we got the June financials from NETA, and KPFK at that point in time was run in June had a, $90,000 deficit.
And
NETA.
No.
Who's talking over me? And NATA is projecting that KPFK will run a $225,000 deficit by September 30th. That may be conservative. So I want to open it up to questions at this point in time. That's what I see as the financial picture for KPFK at this point.
Okay, thank you, Fred. So just to clarify to people, the $90,000 was a deficit on the P&L through the first three quarters of the year, not per month, $90,000 total deficit. I raised this question at the Finance Committee, and I passed it along to both Mo and Mikhail, Mo Thomas and Mikhail Calzada.
Could I say something, IBM, Michael?
The incoming.
And I'm going to pass that along to Nita to get an enhanced answer. Thank you.
Yeah, so the business manager has been reporting that we have a $55,000 a month deficit, but it's not reflected in the financial data we've gotten from NETA, which does the accounting overall. And so the possibilities are that the station has been paying bills from the previous year that were not left unpaid and aren't being reflected on the current P&L, or maybe there's some overstatement of the revenues if there might be some aspects in which somehow listener support is also being reported as website income. I'm not sure what the factors are, but there does seem to be discrepancy between the fact the station has not been paying its central services to the foundation and the figures that we're getting. Bella has a hand up. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, thank you. I was muted. Yes, so my question to the, thank you for that. My question to the, I just want to say that we have not received timely reports, only one P&L, profit and loss, from NETA in months since March. And so this has augmented our dilemma, our crisis. We have not been able to see in real time what's going on at our station. And the station business manager, Barry Brooks, no longer reports to the LSB local report. He only gives us a summary, a written summary. And the summary is not even timely. And all the reports are sent either the morning of the meeting, our meeting, monthly meeting, or the very early night. It is very difficult to have the time to analyze. We waste our time at the Finance Committee. We are not getting other necessary reports, like a balance sheet, which is essential. And NETA has been misclassifying expenditures that have not been paid, as Michael just mentioned, really, to do with the payments, the high payments that need to be made monthly to the national office. So as these expenditures continue aggregating, we call it accrual in accounting, they are being listed as having been paid in the P&L, which then distorts our final numbers every single month and do so by the year end. So I am, we are demanding a special meeting with NETA at the earliest possible time. Thank you very much.
Can the treasurer respond? Michael, there are several misstatements of fact there. Who is the we that's demanding a meeting? Governance doesn't demand things. We have certain rights, and NETA is providing us with timely financial reporting. They just spent a very intensive period of 2 months working on the FY20 audit, which was completed successfully at the end of June and submitted. And they came back and did two monthly P&Ls in 1 month. They're on time. They got the June P&L out last week, and they will be getting the July P&L out the first week of August. And that's the normal timeline for financials. Thank you.
Bella to the staff.
Michael, where are you?
Michael, you're muted.
Sorry, I'm muted. My bad. We have several people with hands up. Paulina requested the stack in the chat, and then we have Eric and Janine. And then we might, we'll see. Thank you. Paulina.
Thank you. I cannot raise my hand for some reason in Zoom. I'm not on the phone. I'm on my computer, but I don't have that option, so I apologize. I'll continue using the chat. Well, my one question was about central services. I do know that we are behind, seriously, so the numbers given, I don't know if they reflect central services or not. That was one question. The other one is, I understand that summer drives tend to be slow, but this is beyond slow. I would like to hear from anybody who is in a position to comment about how this fund drive is being decided and organized, what the decision-making process is, who are the people making the decisions. We really need a crisis plan right now, I think, given how little is being raised, and also an analysis of why, right? What is it that our listeners have given all that they can give? We're trying to squeeze more out of the same dwindling number of supporters, or is it something else? Is it the format? Is it the content? So on and so forth. I would really want to hear more from people who are deeply, intimately involved in the production of the fund drive. Thank you.
Eric and Janine.
Paulina, good set of questions.
Eric and then Janine, and then Jim Osborne.
Thank you, Michael. This is Eric. I would like to know if, Fred, you have any knowledge that might correlate the poor performance in the fund drive with a decline in listenership to our various shows. So one of my questions is, do we have any way of measuring through metrics such as Arbitron and so on can provide, or Nielsen, the listenership during our programming, day in and day out? Do the program shows have, do we have the data on the volume of listenerships throughout our vast signal area with our incredible reach? Do we have any knowledge as to the popularity of our programming? Because my suspicion is that the fund drive declines are unfortunately in correlation with the public's either non-discovery or non-loyalty to the current programming, and it needs to be gone over rather carefully with data, to the extent that data can be had on this.
Eric?
I apologize, Fred, if this is a little outside your bailiwick, but thank you.
Can I respond, Eric?
Go ahead, Fred. Go ahead, Fred.
First of all, the Arbitron numbers should be, management should have those and should be correlating those with the fund drive. That's, management organizes and runs the fund drive, and management should be talking about that here. Unfortunately, that's not the case today. The primary reason is quite clear why the fund drive is doing very poorly, and I really can't talk about it in public because it gets into personnel issues. There are several prominent, fundraisers that are not raising money. That's all I'm going to say. That we can talk about that more in executive session if people would like to.
I will say on the agenda there's a motion to have a special meeting to discuss the financial picture and in closed session necessary to discuss personnel matters. That would be later, and hopefully we'll be able to have the IGM and or the incoming GM on that call. I do want to just a couple of factual items. I believe that we dropped the Nielsen's, so we don't necessarily have that hourly. I did share with people last month the overall ratings for all radio stations. It doesn't show the hourly response, but Generally speaking, KPFK is very close to the bottom of that with a very, very small share of listeners in any average quarter hour, almost off the charts. And also to say that in terms of the local station board election, we got the figures for listeners, members eligible to vote for whom the station has emails to be able to send emails out. And that number is down substantially from the previous listing of that. So I don't know if that reflects a loss of members because there's a different date of record for membership. And the more recent date of record seems to show a lower membership. So I have Janine, Jim Osborne, and Jan Goodman. And I think it might be a time for this item. Go ahead, Janine.
Thanks, Michael. I wanted to bring up the motion that's on the agenda as well, that there would be a meeting before Labor Day, which I think is important, and getting either the interim GM or the incoming GM, or both would be advantageous, I'm sure. Having been on the Finance Committee, I think something that's missing that is important is that, you know, we're not really looking at projection, like a cash flow. And I think that if we could get the business manager and the incoming GM to implement something where we can actually see what's going to be spent in the next month, it would, against what our balance is, I think that's this tangible, hands-on, local type of number assessment that that we're missing, because by the time NATIS numbers come in, and it's not to say that they're, it has been a hard to gauge it the last year because they have been dealing with an audit, but it's really hard to see on a month-to-month basis what's going on. So I'm encouraging that, and certainly hope the Finance Committee can help with that.
Thanks. Jim, then Jan.
Yeah, thank you. Fred, I think our budget situation is just going to get significantly worse immediately. I heard Ian Masters announce his resignation this morning at 11 o'clock, and that today was going to be his final broadcast. So those people on the national board and some on the local board who have been demanding his resignation or hounding him have been successful. And he is one of the largest fundraisers. So I think it's going to significantly impact us immediately. The other thing that I think is extremely unwise is the lawsuit that Pacifica has filed against New Day Pacifica. That's going to deplete resources at the national level and affect all of the stations. And in addition, it's going to splinter and polarize the vast majority of listeners who supported NDP, regardless of the legal merits. And I think it's going to contribute to those listeners either abandoning KPFK and Pacifica, or just not contributing. Either one is horrible. And it's particularly egregious given the fact that they could have worked this out in arbitration. And instead, the national board authorized litigation over the election, which I think was a tactical mistake, a spiritual mistake, a moral error in judgment.
Objection. This is closed session legal matter.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Beth, a public lawsuit is on file. I'm sorry. Mr. Chairman, a public lawsuit is on file in the Los Angeles County Superior Court. It's available to anyone in the entire United States. There's nothing confidential about that. And Beth,
that's
shouldn't
a matter
fight.
Of fact. Your interpretation
okay.
of it. And
no, it's not a matter
okay,
of
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
It's not a matter of interpretation, Beth. It's a matter.
I'm sorry, I muted Mr. Osborne, and I'll ask Van Gutten both, please, to stop calling out of turn, and Mr. Osborne was at time. So Jan Goodman is next, then we have Lawrence Reyes and Eric Jacobson. And Rocio, can you keep track of the time overall, please? Thank you.
Hello? Can you? So in addition to the issues that Mr. Osborne just raised, which I, which are factual, all of which are factual, I accept those of his opinions, but I agreed with those opinions also. There's also been a steady pushing out or leaving or diminution of our basic important programmers and staff. We no longer have our permanent GM on Yale Fields, who stated that he felt that he was pushed out. There was the termination of the program director. Sonali Kohutker has gone on a leave of absence, and she's just recording one program a week instead of five. There's been public acknowledgement of what is happening with the benefits of long-term employees being cut, and the staff that's being affected by that is very significant. Essentially,
that was time, Jan. Did you hear?
Oh, okay. I did not. It's so teeny tiny. Maybe
okay.
Rocio, you could put the timer so that we could hear it better. But thank you very much. And all of those things. Just to summarize that all of those things
okay.
are going towards. Diminishing.
I'm sorry, you are at time, Jan. We're going to move on with the stack. We have a lot of people on it, and we're running out
Michael,
of time for this item.
Michael, can Fred respond?
I'm sorry.
Hang on a second, Fred. Please, let's get through the rest of the stack, and we'll give you one more chance to respond at the end. Just take some notes.
I just wanted to say that I didn't want to get in public into employee issues. And it's not good
okay,
for your organization.
You. That's right. That's correct. Please don't. And we'll leave it at that. I have a lot of hands up. So I believe it was Eric, Lawrence.
Lawrence was before Eric, man.
Okay.
Or you could look in the chat, however you want to do it.
Just let me stick with this, please. I have
okay.
Eric, Lawrence, Beth, Bella, and Lydia Ponce.
Michael, it's Eric. I'll try to be brief here. The rules of the game when you have a democratic governance, as we do here in Pacifica, is that the outcomes of electoral processes, such as the referendum, have to be abided by all concerned. And that's just elementary elementary governance 101, and that's what was applied here. There was a lot of non-acceptance of the results that were completely above board and announced, and as a result of a threat that was made to bring a litigation in an improper forum in the Alameda County courts by the New Day people. The wisdom of the General Counsel of Pacifica was to file a declaratory relief lawsuit in the proper jurisdiction in Los Angeles Superior Court. That was done, and it is pending. And so the objections that had been made to the outcome can be addressed to the court. Meanwhile, I don't believe there's been anybody on this board who has lobbied for any particular show or programmer to be taken off the air. It's not a prerogative of the board to do that. It's a management judgment call, and that's not what our purview. Individual opinions notwithstanding, you know, about any given show. The problem in general is that we have too many what I call vanity programs. These are people who have had shows who may not, objectively speaking, unfortunately, have the level of talent required to have a radio show. That is a talent. It is a special talent. Not everybody has it. And some of our programmers lack it, and that yet they have shows that I call our vanity programming that they got through unfortunate, non-meritorious means, including some cronyism that has been longstanding. Thank you.
All right. I have Lawrence, Beth, Bella, and Lydia, and I think we're at time for the whole item at that point. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't object that a lawsuit, once it becomes public, it's a public matter. But what concerns me is the constant, and it usually is people from New Day Pacifica, that constantly disclose matters that should be discussed in private, especially personnel matters. So the fact is that alcoholism is a disease, right? And if you enable an alcoholic to continue drinking and their disease, then the alcoholic continues to get sick. And in this point, there's been somebody that quite a few people that have polluted the airways, and as a result of it, depressed the fund drives. And they have curried favor with their following to pull people away from our station. So currently, the station is being driven over the cliff by the very people that are entrenched and enabling this kind of polluting of the airways that are being done by some. And the constant threat of somebody resigning, you know, if you don't like where you're at, go away. Please, you know, if that's what you want to do, go away. And let that space be given to somebody that may have fresh ideas. Thank you.
All right, Beth, Bella, and Lydia, and then I think we're at time for the whole item. Beth.
yes. The existence of a lawsuit is a matter of fact. It's public. There's no disputing that. But discussions from internal closed session negotiations, interpretations, and strategy within the board are not up for public discussion. Those are appropriately closed session items. So is personnel. This is not news. This is not news. It was cited earlier this meeting, and yet people went ahead with it.
What was cited?
There are a number of points I would refute if I were free to do so without citing closed session information. I'll state for the record, I have not once advocated firing anyone. I'm not free to discuss it beyond that. It shouldn't have been discussed this much. I call on the chair, please, please, to restrict these kinds of discussions when they come up. If you don't want members of the public or members of the board intervening with objections, then please get ahead of it and prevent that. Thank you.
Okay.
I'd like to be recognized, Michael.
I'm sorry. We have two other people in the stack ahead of you, and we're at time. Bella DeSoto and then Lydia Ponce.
Yes, I was muted. Thank you. I resent all this innuendo that certain issues should not be discussed openly here, although we have to be careful. But all this continuous gatekeeping
has kept us where, pushed us where we are. And I want to let everybody listening that is the programming that has brought us here. It is the programming selections that have been our staple programming grid that has been killing us steadily since 2009. And this has been spoken about, written about for years. It has only gotten worse. We have disenfranchised the signal area, most of our signal area, because of the selections, selection of programming on the air during English speaking time during the day. And there has been no bridge during the daytime, basically, between the Spanish language programming and the English for all to be inclusive. So there you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Lydia Ponce is next, and then I'll have a comment and we'll move on.
No. Well,
thank you, Michael. It's kind of hard to, we have to make it easier to communicate in a positive way, even if we disagree. And I'm going to suggest that, you know, we're having convenient amnesia. Some of us, we've heard the horrible things that are being said live on air, whether they're true or not, is not even for this particular discussion, this particular meeting. I would like to make a motion that we have a retreat where we can actually try to unify both sides. And that's a big ask. And I'm talking like in the next, like the first week of September, because we have to stop disagreeing and find the places and the parts where we agree and move forward. Because this radio station is the community, and I have built some bridges in the most hardest, difficult spaces and places. And all I'm asking is for you to consider a motion to have a retreat online to keep everybody COVID safe, not to yell and argue and fight, but to come together, because we're reaching another part of the pandemic where we really actually need each other and we need KPFK. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. There is a motion later on the agenda for a special meeting. Maybe we can take it up at that time in relation to that motion. I do want to say that the overall problem with the fund drive is our declining listener membership. We had 40,000 plus members at one time. We're down around 10 or less. And related to the problem to that is that the by only relying on on-air fund drives, we drive listeners away. We had a spring fund drive that started in April, ran all the way through May and into June, and then we started a summer fund drive in July that now has to run through August. And we've seen the diminishing returns from that. And that's the fundamental problem related to the fact that we've lost our audience with the programming that we're offering at the moment. So we're going to move the agenda on.
Mr. Chairman, point of personal privilege.
Okay, what's your point of privilege, Mr. Osborne?
I'd like to respond to what I perceive to be the remarks that were directed at me by Ms. Von Gutten, please.
Okay, do so quickly. I didn't hear you named, but what is your personal privilege on that?
Just because something is discussed in executive session doesn't mean that everybody who's in that executive session is barred from ever discussing it. Once the information...
Okay, I'm sorry. Hold on a minute. Order, I'm sorry. You're out of order because you are barred from...
No, let me just finish my point. I'm not going to disclose any further information. It's a legal point, Mr. Chairman. Please. The point is that once that information has been disclosed in the public legal document, anybody is free to discuss it. Here's the example, and it's a non-Pacific example. The Pentagon Papers, once they were published in the New York Times and the Washington Post, it was ruled by the U.S. Supreme Court that every citizen has the right to that knowledge and to discuss it. If the government had a problem, they had to go after the leakers. And they lost against the New York Times and the Post. So this is just basic constitutional law that everybody, you know, on this board should understand. It's not complicated. It's freedom of speech.
All right. Thank you. Nonetheless, I was on confidential personnel committees searching for a news director going back almost 18 years ago. I've never said a word about that process after the fact. And in general, if you're in a meeting that is carried out under confidentiality in an executive session on personnel matters, you are bound by that confidentiality going forward, no matter
what else anybody says.
That's the point that's being. We're moving the agenda, and the next item on the agenda is public comment. So I saw a hand up from Sue Cohen. Go ahead.
Margo Iser would like to be added to the stack for public comments.
Thank you, Margo. Sue, you are unmuted now. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have this secret campaign to enlist the LSB and coordinated by Terry Guy, of course, to call the highest rollers and ask them why they quit us. At least we could find out why they got pissed off and quit us and ask them to return and renew their $150 or the most high rollers that we can get, and call them up and find out why they're pissed. Thank you.
Name votes down to the staff public.
I didn't hear from you earlier. Go ahead. Was that Mo Thomas asking to speak?
Who did you say? Michael, it's hard to understand you. Whose name did you just call?
I had called on Margo, but I thought I heard Mo Thomas, our IGM, asking to speak. So if he does, I'm sorry, hang on a second, Margo. If Mo wants to speak, please do so.
I do want to speak, and here I go.
No, I said Mo.
Wait, I'm sorry.
I said our IGM, Mo Thomas. I thought I heard Mo Thomas ask to speak. In which case, I would like him to do so.
I will mute again. Sorry, I didn't understand your voice. Sometimes it's a little blurry on the phone. Sorry.
Mo, did you wish to speak? I guess not. I'm sorry. All right, go ahead, Margo.
Roman Goldstone with a public stack.
Okay, I'm going to speak slowly and distinctly. Nothing should be confidential about money because we are being told over and over we are the ones who pay the bills. So we need to be regularly provided with factual information about everything with our money to the penny regularly. Also, you cannot correlate what is raised during the unfund drives because there's an imbalance of the time that repeat programs get put on air to pitch high-priced premiums. These repeats of pay with people who get paid replace many programs produced by volunteers and have topics directly related to the Pacific Mission Statement and outreach and bringing in inclusion. They never get a chance to pitch. And when they pitch, sometimes their premiums are like $50 or cheaper than the ones that are pitched on the high price, pitched on the other ones. Another programmer has stated she will donate paid programmer, she will donate during her repeat programs that she will contribute money to get to her goal of a certain amount to be raised during her programs. And I think that because these programs are not announced as repeats, that she should be made to pay that money each time her program is repeated. That would help increase the money. And the second thing is I agree that it would be extremely helpful to get an objective evaluation of the whole fundraising process, which could be done by a separate committee. That could be really, 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 really valuable. And secondly, it would also be great to get communications experts to come in and work with the LSB and the listeners and to teach and learn and apply various ways to communicate effectively. There's nonviolent communication. There's many other techniques that could be practiced and applied, and then we could discuss things without taking sides, and it would, again, fulfill the mission statement of Pacifica, and it could be a lesson to teaching other people, too. So
that was time, Margo. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Rocio. That was time. Rocio, the beep is not audible to anyone. So please unmute yourself and speak up when it's time. I have Ruth Strauss and then Yoshio and I believe Mo. So, Ruth.
Yes, hi. So I'm saying this as a listener, and since it was already brought up, I don't think it's delving into personnel, but I actually enjoy Ian Masters' program. I don't think he was forced to resign. I think that he was promoting his own website, and he also was kind of, you know, trashing the whole election process, and that was felt to be inappropriate. So I think his decision, well, I can't speak for him, but I can say that I don't think that people were trying to force him to resign. They just wanted him to revamp what he was saying. The other thing is just on the same thing about premiums. Yes, all the premiums are like high end, and we're supposed to be trying to appeal to a wide array of listenership, and I assume a wide array of economic circumstances. So at times I think, you know, I just discovered today that you could get a bumper sticker for $5. I think it should be included in a $25 pledge because it shows it's something that publicly announces the station. But whatever, somebody should come on at some point and say, please look at our, you know, page. We have a lot of premiums that are, you know, $50 or below. Thank you.
Thank you, Yoshio. And then I believe Mo. Yoshio, you have to unmute. Yoshio, your hand is up, and I believe you want to speak. You have to unmute yourself.
Michael, in the comments, he says he doesn't have a microphone.
Yeah. All right. His public comment, I see, is in the stack. When is the next public on-air town hall? The reason a private group was created seems to be that public town halls were not being held. These town halls should be hosted by Pacifica and be open to all, not be controlled by some private gatekeeper. I'm not sure what that's a reference to. We did hold one town hall. It's what was done by Zoom. Whether it gets on air is up to the management, not the local station board. The local station board will be holding a second town hall later this year, and I think we'll hear from that when we get to the outreach committee. But if you want it on the air, you need to lobby the management to do so. Mo, did you want to speak in public comment?
Michael, I don't see Mo in the...
We seem to have lost him. I have too many screens to see everybody at the same time. All right, I don't see any other hands up, and I don't think I see Mo any longer, so I'm not sure what happened with that, but he had the option. Next item of the agenda is the director's reports from the PNB. And we have about 20 minutes for that, and then there are a number of national committees that we'll also be hearing from. Is there a director who wishes to speak? Ali Alexa took an excused absence. Go ahead, Beth.
This is Beth. I'd
go
be
ahead.
Happy to, okay, thank you.
Thank
one
you.
Moment. I have to turn to the report. so this is my report for the past month. Pacifica continues to enjoy the benefits of improving financial self-discipline. Our contract with NEDA is bringing a necessary and very welcome internal regularity to our internal business administration, establishing routine business practices, clarifying and bringing past accounting up to date, and laying out an orderly path into strategic planning and a more predictable future. As a consequence, Pacifica's overall financial prospects continue to improve, with KPFK being the single notable exception in that regard. Pacifica fiscal year 2020 audit and our 501c3 IRS 990 reporting have both been completed and are in compliance with all audits now up to date for the first time since 2012. Timely completion of future audits will be greatly facilitated with this previous work now in place. Newly available Pacifica Pensions information has resolved outstanding concerns regarding Pacifica pension funding, thus lifting a disclaimer regarding previous arrangements arrearages, bringing what was a possible debt of upward of $500,000 down to an actual debt of only about $8,000, greatly alleviating our most immediate financial pressure. Work has been completed on 6 of the 8 Pacifica financial unit budgets. A KPFK fiscal year 21 budget is expected to be approved at the next National Finance Committee meeting in time to use it as a starting point and template for a timely fiscal year 22 budget. With budgets in place for all 7 operational Pacifica units, a national office budget will be the final piece. It has been a major effort to resurrect a standard budget process across the network. But having these initial budgets in place this year provides a sound starting point and template for a return to more regular business practices into the future. Adopting such practices has assured that we were able to qualify to extend the crucial FJC loan on good terms. We continue to service that loan on time and without interruption. In addition, the federal government, recognizing its vested interest in assuring the ongoing viability of critical infrastructure such as radio communications throughout the roughest stretches of the pandemic, took bold action to support and protect a broad array of such community assets, including Pacifica, to our great good fortune. It is to the advantage of the community as a whole for institutions such as Pacifica to continue to operate without interruption throughout any major material, economic, or social disruption, such as the pandemic. The PPP funding we qualified to receive functioned as it was intended to stabilize strategic community assets across the country. Pacifica was by no means the only beneficiary to have benefited from this foresight. Other current financial work deferred to allow completion of the audits and the budgets has resumed, resulting in increasingly current financials for most recent months. There are concerns at the national level about the ongoing crisis at KPFK having consequences for the network as a whole. Finance, programming, personnel, and management are all showing the effects of being left in limbo for months as our local situation deteriorates. Directors of any nonprofit such as Pacifica bear a fiduciary responsibility, a legal obligation to do all within our power to protect the best interests of Pacifica. We also bear a legal duty to warn of any perceived dangers to the institution. While I appreciate the necessary self-examination undertaken by our critics, public disparagement of internal challenges can have the unintended consequences of undermining the prospects and credibility of the institution we all love and which we are legally bound to defend and protect. Any sincere critique should avail itself of the profoundly inclusive participatory democratic processes provided within Pacifica governance and should rightly be accompanied by a commensurate internal effort to correct perceived inadequacies. This monthly report is intended to keep all apprised of my own such efforts and as an invitation to all to look for an opening in which you can bring forth your own gifts, whatever they may be, to support Pacifica in its hour of need. Over the course of the last month, I've attended all local and national board, committee, and task force meetings in which I'm responsible to represent KPFK, LSB, and listeners, including all Pacifica National Board meetings, National Finance Committee meetings, and strategic planning committees. At my request, the Pacifica Development Task Force has been reconvened and is now slated to meet Monday, August 23rd at 5:30 p.m. and regularly thereafter. I'm working with the chair to develop a strategic development plan. The Pacific National Technology Task Force has begun meeting regularly for presentations and discussion of how best to configure Pacifica to meet the needs of the future. In addition, I've been attending the National Bylaws Task Force. I was recently asked to address the Pacifica Affiliates Roundtable on Pacifica's role in emergency response, beginning with regular public service preparedness announcements. We've begun to stand up a Pacifica Resilience Work Group to meet on an ongoing basis. Please feel free to contact me with any questions or comments or concerns about our work at the national level now or at any time throughout the month, and I'll do my best to respond. Thank you. Respectfully submitted, Beth Von Gwinton.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you for I thank you, Beth, for your work, for the written report. And the next hand up I had was Lawrence Reyes and then Jim Osborne. Ali Alexa is not present today. Go ahead, Lawrence.
I will yield to Mr. Osborne if he wants to go ahead.
No, I'll wait after Mr. Reyes. Thank you.
Okay. I think there's quite a few things I want to say. I cannot get to doing a written report due to the ratification of LA County contract that we're trying to do, so I've been exhausted. I want to mention that the PNB National Elections Committee is going to be convening on the 21st, on next Saturday, this coming Saturday, actually, at 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. The PNB Governance Committee is going to convene again on the 25th, Wednesday the 25th. Now, I think part of the crisis at KPFK is the crisis of listener candidates not being able to be on the air to articulate their platforms as to why they want to be LSP members. So I fought for two motions at the PNB, and I'm not going to tell you how some people voted, but those motions were, as far as I'm concerned, premeditatedly defeated, and those motions were to be able to saturate the airways, to be able to have on-air candidate forums, and be able to engage and listen to call-ins in regards to live on-air candidate forums. I asked for an extension of the ballots going out to the end of the month instead of Monday, Monday, which they will be going out. The listener voting ballots will be going out on Monday. I advocated for the first motion, and I also submitted the motion that came out of the KPFK Governance Committee to extend the deadline for 2 weeks in order for listeners' cards to be played on the air at KPFK. So along with that, that's part of the crisis at KPFK. Because as you all know, we pushed back a referendum which distracted the National Election Supervisor. So I thought it was a precarious circumstance and an appropriate, fair act to please mute yourself, whoever's chewing. Very annoying. So I thought it was a estrogen circumstance that where they should have allowed that those motions, one of them to be adopted. And unfortunately, the fighter that I am, it was not adopted. And I just wanted to report that because I think that is a very important point to make, especially where we're just coming out of a very compressed schedule of voting for a referendum, voting for articles of incorporation, and not having the LSP delegate election thrust upon us. So I think it was a very sad moment at the Pacifica National Board for them not to even realistically offer an amendment that would have addressed those concerns that some of us fought for. And I know a lot of you who are candidates want to be on the air and want to be able to articulate your platforms and why you want to be on LSB. So that's all I have. I can't think of anything else. Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you. First, I want to thank my colleague, both of my colleagues, for their reports, but I want to in particular point to Beth, who consistently produces excellent summaries and overviews. And for those of us who, for whatever reason, aren't able to write them up in a succinct and at the same time expansive fashion, I want to, you know, thank Beth on behalf of everybody. The second point I'd like to make with regard to the subject that my co-director, Mr. Reyes, just made, is that it was my understanding that the reason why those motions were defeated was that the national board didn't feel it was appropriate to tell the local stations how to manage their own elections and how to manage their own airtime. So it's not those of us who may have seen this issue differently, it's not that people are against having the candidates get airtime or anything else that deals with the logistics of the campaign. The point was and that each station is free to adopt its own methods of running its own campaign and up to each general manager to figure out what's best for his station along with the local station boards. The third point and my last point that I'd like to make, and I'm not going to disclose or step into any confidential issues, but just as a general point, a general observation, I would like to see more openness, more inclusiveness, and more subjects debated publicly before the public and before our boards. There's a tendency that I've noticed here, both locally but more nationally, that meeting that the certain sensitive subjects get put into executive session. Now, we all know that has to be done sometimes, but there are certain things that could be kept confidential and there's certain things that could be released. And I think that we could all do a better job, and I'm talking about this as part of my PNB report. I think the PNB could do a much better job narrowing the scope of what's confidential and then at the same time releasing to the public and discussing in the general meeting so that everybody can hear those parts of the subject that are not really confidential. So if you have, for example, a strategic legal session, obviously that's all has to be confidential and nobody wants a discussion of legal positions or the legal merits. But the fact that the board might take an action to do something in public, you know, might be subject to disclosure. So it's a general philosophical point that I'm making, and I think it's hard. It's easy. I know it's easy to put things in executive session, and sometimes it's safer. And I appreciate that. And Mr. Novick made a point a couple minutes ago about a situation where that's perfectly appropriate. And I 100% agree with the way he conducts himself. But those are personnel matters. And the matters that I'm referring to are not personnel matters. So it's a, you know, it's a, sometimes it's a little bit of a walk on a tightrope. But I think we should err on the side of disclosing many of these things with our listeners because these listeners are our lifeline and we should treat them with the utmost respect and as if, you know, we were in their shoes. Thank you.
Thanks. I see a couple of hands up. I did want to ask, do any of the directors, is there a public report back from the PNB on any of the confidential matters that were discussed in closed session? That, because normally there is a report out of some kind. I haven't had a chance to check on KPFDX if any of that's in writing. So if there was a written report out or a statement from the PNB about any of the closed session material that anyone can offer?
Yeah, I would defer to Paulina, who posts us the reports out.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Yes,
may
Paul.
I be recognized, Mansoor?
Yeah, hang on a second, Mansoor.
I just want to say I'm joining the meeting.
Yes, presence is noted. Thanks. Paulina, go ahead.
All the reports out are posted by Otis McClay to pacifica.org under official notices.
Okay, thank you.
And they've been updated. The last one hasn't posted yet, but I think we're up to the next up to. Basically, we're one report we do overdue. That's coming soon.
Okay, thank you. So for everybody that's not on KPFDX.org, but on Pacifica.org under the PNB, I assume. Bella had a hand up as a comment on the PNB reports, and then I do want to hear from some of the PNB committees that we have on the agenda. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. There's a great deal of hypocrisy. I'm glad that Director Lawrence Reyes denounced the treatment of two critical motions that were presented just three days ago at the PNB. And the hypocrisy that I'm referring to, the level of hypocrisy, is that we happen to have four directors at the national level, but only Mr. Lawrence Reyes, who submitted one of the motions from the network to represent us, was the only person who voted in the affirmative. Mr. Osborne was missing in action, as in other meetings. Ali Lexa and Ms. Van Dusen both voted against both motions. To give airtime to all the candidates across the network. And this is very, very critical, because this is the way to maintain the existing financial crises that we have been facing. For the last three election cycles, there has been no communication with our signal areas as to who the candidates running for our local station boards are, what they represent, what they stand for. And there is a motion under the outreach committee today that I hope you can support so that we can continue the pressure. And this is very serious. And this tomorrow, the ballots are supposed to be going out. How can this be? There is definitely a disconnect locally and nationally. So thank you.
I see that two directors have their hands up again, Beth and then Lawrence. Did you want to respond quickly?
Yes, please. Thank you. Yes, we had prior word from the National Election Supervisor that the scheduling would not be changed. She's going to stick to the scheduling as it has been laid out, and that it wasn't subject to actions that we took. I completely support on-air presentation of candidates and discussion, and I think all of this should be carried out on air. I don't think the way to do it, I don't think that what was put forward would accomplish that. Hoping that when we get to the Programming Oversight Committee, our motion there will help support that, not pressure, but support that intention. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Lawrence.
Thank you. So, extenuating circumstances like the ones that we are in, with a compressed election voting schedule, first a referendum. Then second, the Articles of Incorporation proposal that Everett Jacobson submitted. created the kind of circumstance where a special motion like this would have been in order. I was fighting as if I was a candidate. And I remember having been a candidate where on-air forums had not been held in the last three elections. So I don't know what rock people are hiding under, but this is something that, as far as I'm concerned, is part of the crisis and confidence that KPFK is having right now. And the Pacifica National Board, with the opportunity to step in and request or recommend to the National Election Supervisor, who I had spoken to and said that these on-air forums, with the first motion back in at the very beginning, at the end of July, said that she would put on notice the GMs and the IPDs and the PDs that these on-air cards and forms should be had, did not happen. So that's why I pushed it further, and I'm not giving up on having the candidates have their venue and have the avenue to articulate their platforms. Thank you.
So I just do want to point out, as I said at the top of the agenda, that last month the LSB did pass a motion urging the PNB to mandate on-air forums on all five stations, and that is the policy of this body at this point. Janine is next.
Thanks, Michael. I wanted to first let you know that Barbara Marbach has also been on the call on and off. I think she might be having a little bit of trouble, but she is present presently. And I wanted to thank Bella for bringing this up and for Lawrence to taking it to the PNB. I'm disappointed that something isn't being done because, you know, I'm a candidate now, but I was also a candidate 2 years ago, and I did not make the recording, the one-time opportunity to have a recording in Pasadena. And I also was somebody who never received a ballot, even as a candidate. I had to call three times. So, you know, the elections committee, I was elected to the elections committee or appointed to the elections committee. And I was really looking forward to helping because I know it's an overwhelming task, but we have in the elections committee and Mansoor's on it. We've been trying to get the NES to allow us to help her. And it seems like she's so overwhelmed that she can't even take any help. So I appreciate Lawrence calling for the meeting at the end of this week. And I'm really hoping that we can come up with some kind of a middle ground to make sure that the candidates can be heard, not just online. So many of our listeners are not online. And so I just, you know, wanted to make sure people knew that. Thank you.
Thanks, Janine. So I do want to point out on our agenda, we have the PNB committee reports. We have the Committee of Inclusion, the Audit Committee, the National Program Committee, the National Tech Task Force, the PNB Development Task Force, the Elections Committee, which you just heard about, has a meeting scheduled. And then we have some time for discussion as well. So are there other LSB members on PNB committees who want to report about their committee?
I could do the Committee of Inclusion real quick.
Yeah, I'll go on. Why don't you do that, Lawrence?
Okay, so the Committee of Inclusion met a couple of Mondays ago, and we are due to meet the second Monday of the month at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. So that'll be the second Monday of the month, which I'm trying to pull up. I will tell you when. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Eric?
Michael, as a member of the audit committee from our LSB, I wanted to report that there was a further detail regarding the audit process that hasn't been mentioned yet. Everything that has been mentioned is correct. The one other detail that's come up in the last 2 weeks is that the audit committee members have been forwarded what is known as a management letter that is produced by management relative to the audit, and it's been distributed for the benefit of the audit committee members only, eyes only. But it's part of the continuing course correction and now successful regularity of the audit process. So I wanted to share that good news. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I did have a couple of questions. One is Beth mentioned the Strategic Planning Committee, and I'm wondering, is there some way for LSB members of the different stations to join that committee, or how does that work? And Beth has a hand up. I don't know if you want to respond to that or have other things to say as well, Beth.
I can address that. Alex Steinberg is host of that meeting. He chairs the meeting, and I think probably the best right now, we're not streaming, but I would suggest that likely the best way to the most effective way to get to have that redressed would be to contact Alex Steinberg and ask.
Okay, thank you.
And it could be he needs tech support to do that, but that's likely your best route. And I'll save my other comments for as they come up under the committees. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
And
you can
put my hand down. I don't have a way to put my hand down. You can put it down now so that if I need to raise it again, you'll know. Thanks.
Good. So anybody else from the I can say about the National Technology Task Force, Jim Dingeman has been chairing that. I meant to get on this weekend, just had too much going on. But I believe he said he's going to schedule that every other week. He's having guest speakers dealing with sort of the current nature of radio broadcasting and where it fits in the media landscape with social media and other formats. And I think that's a very worthwhile committee. Beth, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, I have to flip back and forth between screens to mute and unmute and get back to the agenda. And regarding the National Technology Task Force, the next meeting that I saw scheduled was for September 12th at 10 a.m. our time or 1 p.m.
Okay.
Eastern time. And we skipped over the elections committee. I did have a comment on that. Thank you. Lawrence, for convening that meeting now. I was unaware that the committee had been meeting earlier than that this year. We've been through two whole elections now, counting the referendum, or we're in the middle of the second. And this is the first I've been aware that committee is meeting. And there are any number of issues that we need to address. And right now we're trying to do it remedially and catching up. And for next year, I would hope that the committee, whoever constitutes that committee, will begin earlier and in anticipation of preventing these problems, solving these problems before we're already, you know, past the point where it's possible to do much. So thank you.
Okay, thanks. I see Janine and then Lawrence. No. All right, Lawrence.
Yeah, go ahead, Janine. You were muted. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. We met in April, and the NES has not allowed another meeting since. We tried to schedule. There has been multiple emails trying to get the committee to meet again since April. And in July, it was kind of thwarted. And so Lawrence is doing this because it's not getting done any other way. So the idea was to be ahead of this, and it's just a shame. And I think maybe in the future, there needs to be more than one person handling this, really. There needs to be a team of people. I know she has people underneath her, but somehow the management of it is just, when it doesn't even allow for the committee to meet for 4 months, is pretty sad.
Thanks, so, Lawrence.
It's a tough task, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, and Janine is completely correct on that. I was at the April meeting, and the way convening meetings of the PMB works is that the chair asks for volunteers to convene a committee. Now, the elections committee has been a committee that has been neglected for the last 2 years that I've been on the PMB. I stepped up to convene the elections committee out of the concerns of some election committee members, such as Dineen and others. And I believe that the National Election Supervisor was left with the task of convening the National Elections Committee, which is she is an ex officio member of that committee, but I don't think she supposed to convene that committee. So that's why I stepped up a couple of weeks ago and convened and set the date for the Elections Committee. I agree with everything that my colleague, Beth Van Kooten, said about being able to mitigate a lot of the elections-related issues through the Elections Committee. But again, it was neglected, and it was the lack of leadership that that a convener was not asked for, to I finally stepped up and said that I would do it. Not that that makes me any better person than anybody else, just makes me a person that's really concerned. And as my colleague knows, I'm a worker bee, and I'm busy with us other committees and with my job and the union and all of that. So I do the best I can. I also put in the chat, Chair, that the Committee of Inclusion is meeting on September the 9th at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. The Committee of Inclusion, that, which is a Monday, second Monday of the month. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So I did want to call myself with a question regarding the election committee and the process. I think one of the other issues, in addition to the on-air broadcasting of candidate forums and all the stations, is the question of the membership list. And in the NES's after action report on the bylaws referendum, she pointed out the problems with getting accurate deduped membership lists from the management. And I will point out again, I served on the election committee a few years ago, and I constantly try to bring to people's attention that the California Corporations Code requires Pacifica to maintain an accurate, up-to-date, current list of its members at its headquarters, which are now here in Los Angeles. But it's the responsibility is primarily not on the NES. It's on the management. The management has to keep up-to-date records of both listener and staff members, including unpaid staff. And that obligation has to be enforced in some way, whether in the local board evaluations or by the IED. But it's critical that we know who is eligible to vote, who is eligible to run before the election process begins. Thank you. Is there further listener comment? I'm sorry, a member comment or discussion on the PNB director's reports or the committee reports?
May I be recognized, Oscar?
Yes, please go ahead, Oscar.
Pretty much this will be just to point out, if I were a member of the public, that it seems to me really either curious or disconcerting that on pretty much most of the committees, either locally or nationally, we pretty much just hear from the same people. And I'm wondering if in a board, and this is including me as a member, I'm wondering what's happening. We are like more than 20 members all around, and it seems like the same group of people seems to be carrying the most of the load of the, either governance, administrative, auditing, and stuff. So again, if I was a member of the public, I would say, where are all the 15 or whatever members left that we never hear? That means that it's a complete disconnect also into the participation of most of members. And I close my comment.
Thanks, Oscar. I see a hand up from Bella and then Beth.
Yes, thank you. I was muted. I want to thank you, Oscar, for that. Thank you, Dineen. What I see here is a top-down governance structure that for certain needs to be revisited. And this is why we need to remove certain layers of gatekeeping control that does not give our local boards the necessary oversight mandate, not just on paper, but in action. And we have been pretty much given a license to do nothing. We cannot enact change, progress. And it's evident that in the last three election cycles, management has decided that the listening audience does not want to get involved with the governance of the station, which is a major violation against the bylaws and the spirit of the mission. So having said that, how is it possible that we have allowed this to continue? And all the power lies with the IGM, because the PMB can only push the IGM so much, but it's the IGM that needs to take the action and mandate that the NES, the National Election Supervisor, does the right thing. So here we are again. We are placed between the hard place and the rock, and there's little we can do. And now we have a new general manager, but he's coming in late in the game, mid-September. And so this is a very difficult situation for us. We have a major digital divide, and the signal area has no clue that about 47 candidates are running for the local station board. They have no clue who they are. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Janine, you have your hand up again?
I'm just wondering if we could entertain a motion to ensure that KPFK membership has been, properly relayed, reviewed and relayed to the elections committee, to the NES.
Informed.
You know, I just, because we've had an interim general manager and so much distraction with our financial situation, I'm wondering if there's some sort of a director's inspection. I know that was done with the finance committee, but that the membership has been shored up and is complete and is being, the outreach is being done to them with the balloting. I'm looking for assistance on what exactly that motion would be, but I think it's necessary.
Okay, thanks. Beth, I'm not sure if you wanted to had your hand up again or not. There's a lot of noise coming over your line, though.
Sorry, the hand up was inadvertent.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Eric, you're up.
Yes, Michael. I wanted to make a comment on the issue regarding the airing of LSB candidate forums over our air. It's an option, obviously. It looks like the PNB did not approve the proposals to recommend that. However, I think a very viable, practical, happy medium would be to leverage the ability of candidates to have their carts announced over the air, and additionally and very importantly, to have direction to listeners over the air as to where online they can reach the candidates' forums. And it should be done with some care and ease, by which the listener who wants to review the forums and or debates, however they want to be characterized, by the candidates to do compare and contrast and to become informed voters in our LSB election process, which I think is a very big cornerstone of our organization. Because as I've said many times, the LSB elections being democratic immediately inform every January the composition of the Pacifica National Board, because the one of the greatest responsibilities of the LSB is to elect among themselves four members to be on the Pacifica National Board. So it's vital, I think, to use the air, if not to actually broadcast these forums, which may or may not even be good radio. I'm a little bit dubious that it is good radio. I think what is, however, vital is that the links where people can go online and listen, notwithstanding the digital divide, there will be some people who can't do it, but the vast majority nowadays can. And they should be precisely informed where to go to, take the time and at their own discretion and leisure listen to the candidates who are wishing to become members of the LSB and who have the all-important responsibilities of membership, including not least the vote to every January to compose the four members of our local board who will be on our Pacifica National Board. And while I have the floor for 10 more seconds, I want to also say that I noted in the chat my praise for Beth Van Guten, who has really done incredible service, including at, with enormous amounts of her time as a exemplary member of the Pacifica National Board, who was elected to our LSB in 2019 and became eligible to be on the Pacifica National Board after 1 year of service, and has done an exemplary and outstanding job. Thank you.
Well, Lena, for the stack, please.
I got my hand up to answer Janine's question, Michael.
Thank you.
You're muted, Michael.
I was typing. I didn't want to have the clicking. So I have a hand up from Lawrence. I see Paulina wants the stack as well. I did want to respond to Janine's suggestion. I think there is some provision for assistance to the LESs. There used to be some provision like that. So I'm wondering if we can inquire of the NES and the LES about what type of assistance they need and see if we can provide it. I do think that maybe a motion is necessary regarding the list, because as I put in the chat, when the NES posted the staff lists for the last election, they were again wildly incorrect. There were people who were deceased or no longer connected to the station whatsoever on the list, and people who were doing shows were not on the list. And I don't understand why the management cannot provide accurate current lists of the staff, let alone the members, the listener members. So maybe somebody can write a motion up and we can consider in the new business today, or we can bring it to the governance committee. But I agree with Janine's suggestion that we need some action on that. Janine, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, if I could follow up. I mean, ballots go out tomorrow. You know, we're trying to have a fair election. And, you know, it seems paired with the idea that there aren't cards that are being aired. We have a lot of our listeners that are not, you know, technically going online to see about the candidates. And then we also have membership rolls that are really not that shored up. Can't we, in the interim, have some sort of a pause put on just KPFK? The PNB won't do it until we have some sort of assurance from our interim GM or some sort of a, I don't know.
That's beyond the scope of what we can deal with here. The election is a national election. It's carried out by the National Election Supervisor. I think as far as the station membership rolls, though, if you want to try to draft some motion that we can address to the local management, I think that would be in order for later in the new business. Let's proceed. Lawrence has a hand up. Sue, we're not taking public comment now. There'll be one more public comment period in a little bit of time. So just be patient. Sorry. Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. In regards to the question about a director's inspection to obtain the membership list, I think that might be one of the things that might be outside of the scope of a director inspection, because of the need to maintain confidentiality of our membership list. I think what could be probably gotten is numbers in regards to how many people are going to vote, how many people are eligible to vote, both staff and listeners. I'm definitely open to going offline with you, or if you want to make a motion and requesting a directed inspection in regards to your concerns. But I think that might be outside of a request.
Paulina, then Beth, and then we need to move the agenda.
Thank you.
I wanted to make sure that nobody misunderstands what it is that the National Board actually voted to reject. And I think people have said, at least I heard somebody say that the National Board refused to mandate candidate cards and forum debates. Well, actually, that's already in the bylaws, and that's what is supposed to happen. And so just to make sure that I don't think that the BNB is against candidate cards. Right. And that's where I think maybe just this public pressure on the NES and management to make this happen already. I mean, come on. How complicated could it be? We rebroadcast several shows every day. We know that even if there's a fund drive, this is in the bylaws. Right. It doesn't need to be mandated by any board. That's the main point. And you know, we shouldn't be making motions to make ourselves
over
fall
there.
Over. Thank you.
Over there. Over there.
And then there was something else. Oh, it's all right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So Rocio has been our timekeeper, asked to leave the call. Is there someone else who could keep time? I've been trying to do it along with the agenda so we have enough time for the rest of our items.
If you want me to keep time, I could keep time.
Okay, please do. So again, it's still 90 seconds per speaker, and Beth is next.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to address the issue of, first, thank you, Paulina, for those comments. It helps explain, I would hope, my vote. And then I wanted to address the issue of membership. I would be membership listings. Our membership accountability. I would be happy to work with others on this issue. I think it's a major problem. When I registered online as a candidate a little more than 2 years ago, within a day, I got back three emails from three different parts of Pacifica with my name spelled three different ways, not one of them correct, meaning nobody seemed to know how to just hit reply. And to date, our membership department has never been able to figure out that they've ever met me before, that I've ever been a member before, that I've ever renewed before, that I donated a couple of old cars years ago. That's just, I mean, we're stuck in this short-term memory. There are problems. There are systemic problems. We need an assessment of the membership department, I think, to understand what's going on. Now that we've adopted Allegiance, these problems shouldn't be coming up like this. Allegiance should be handling them. And if it's not, then we need to get to the bottom of it. So I would be happy to work with others on this. Thank you.
We are at time. We're moving the agenda to if somebody wants to craft a motion, we can take it up on a new business. We're dealing with the question of getting accurate membership lists with a request or some offer to the management. The next agenda item is the local committee reports.
I'm sorry. I have a point of personal privilege.
Yes, what is it?
You know, that vote on those two motions, that vote was a complete dereliction.
All right. That's not a point of personal privilege, Mr. Reyes. Thank you. We're moving the agenda to local committee reports, and the first one is the Governance Committee, and there is a motion from Governance calling on the LSB to meet in a closed session prior to the Labor Day holiday to discuss the station's serious financial situation and operating costs, and we're trying to schedule that at the convenience of the IGM and the incoming GM in hopes they can attend. The reason it would be a closed session has to do with the fact that it would probably be discussing personnel, confidential personnel matters, not the finances themselves, because the finances are public and should be public. So that's a motion from the Governance Committee. It doesn't require a second. Is there some discussion of that motion? I see Harvey. Is that Harvey Wasserman with your hand up? Harvey's iPhone. Is that Harvey Wasserman?
It is. I oppose any closed session.
Okay, thank you. Secretary, please note Harvey joined the call a couple of minutes ago. Any other discussion? Mr. Meek, go ahead.
For Desperado. Okay, you can have Antonio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Mr. Osborne? Mr. Osborne? Sorry, Alan Beek has the floor. Please unmute yourself, Alan. You have to unmute yourself, Alan. You're not audible.
Star six?
No, he's on a computer.
Oh.
Go ahead, Alan.
I think the motion is a good one. There will be a valuable discussion, and I want to be in it.
Bella, you're next.
Yes, I was muted. Yes, I wanted to motivate this. This motion is very, very urgent. That we meet at a reasonable time as soon as possible, but it is also urgent that both figures, the interim and the incoming general manager, be present. That it must be mandatory. Thank you.
Well, if we schedule a meeting, the general manager is supposed to attend. I don't know if we can mandate the incoming general manager to attend, but I did invite both of them to let us know their availability so that we could schedule it at their convenience. I haven't heard back yet. Harvey, is your hand back up?
No.
Okay. All right. So I heard only one objection, which was Harvey's, to having that as a closed meeting. Is there any other objection? Who's that? Yes, I understand that, but I'm saying if there's only one objection, I'm sorry?
Janine to the staff.
Yeah, I'm just saying if there's only one objection, then we could consider it approved with the objection noted. If there are more objections, all right, I see some more discussion. Janine and then Beth. Go ahead, Janine.
I don't think it needs to be a closed session.
Right. That's something that I wanted to ask about, that if maybe someone could explain to us why that sort of meeting needed to be in closed session, because perhaps it could be an open session. I think the meeting's needed, but whether it has to be in closed session.
The reason of the proposal for governance was reflected in the earlier round of bickering that we had here, because we felt it was going to go into confidential personnel matters. That's why it was proposed as a closed session. And that's all I'm going to say about it. If people want to vote for an open session, it's going to restrict what can be said at the meeting, is my opinion. Beth, you're next.
Fred for the staff.
Yes, and I got distracted by listening to what was just said, so I've forgotten my point. But it's I know that. So I tried to invoke that same what I thought.
The host will be informed that you would
like
to speak.
Board this last week, and the parliamentarian corrected me to say that no second objection is needed to go to a vote. That if you have even one objection, it's required that you go to a vote. Sorry to say. It's only in Pacifica that I've ever even heard of that process.
Okay. All right. Fine. I'll stand corrected by the parliamentary ruling. Harvey asked for the stack, I think, again, and then Fred Blair.
No, that was a mistake. I'm not on.
Okay. All right. Fred, go ahead.
Yes. I just wanted to say I support having a special meeting of the LSB on the finances, and I think it should be an executive session. There's just too many things that that we have to discuss that we don't want any limitations on. Thank you.
Okay, how would people feel if we schedule as an open session with the option to go into closed session if necessary? Bella and then Fred again. Bella,
yes,
go ahead.
I am against wasting any more time on this. I believe that the motion calls for immediate action, and we need to schedule this. What we can do, what I propose we do, is do a placeholder, a tentative weekend, right, usually on a Sunday, make it a tentative as a placeholder with the option of flexibility so that we can accommodate both the IGM and the incoming general manager, but schedule it as soon as possible within the timeline that we were discussed. Thank you.
All right. So the motion is on the floor as it stands then. We'll take a vote on it. Could you call the roll, Janine?
Okay. Michael Adler. So this is a yes for...
A yes vote is to hold a special meeting and executive session prior to the Labor Day holiday with the participation of the IGM and incoming GM, the scheduling to be determined by their availability.
What is the motion about? Whether it's to be... closed or just to have the motion, the meeting?
It's scheduled as a closed meeting because we anticipate discussing confidential personnel matters.
I'm not sure if Michael Adler is still on the call. Michael Adler?
I thought he came back on, but...
Sorry, I was having trouble unmuting.
I don't think we need to discuss personnel matters to discuss finances. I don't think it needs to be closed.
Well, the business manager at the Finance Committee meeting said they're not clear how they're going to meet payroll for September. So it's critical that we do.
Are we in the middle of a vote?
Yes, we are.
I vote yes.
Thank you. Alan B.
Alan, how do you vote?
I think I need to mute. Harvey, could you mute yourself? I can hear your keyboard. So, Alan Beek, we're going to come back to you because I'm not sure you're able to. Oh, I saw you on mute. Go ahead and try again. Try one more time, Alan, to unmute. Alan, I can see you're speaking, but you're muted.
Just go on, Janine. We'll come back to him.
Okay.
Just for the sort of path.
Fred Blair?
Yes.
Thank you. Sandy Childs? Oh, we don't have Sandy Childs today. Okay. Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Thank you. Eric C. Jacobs, or no, Jan Goodman. We may have lost Jan. Eric C. Jacobson.
Yes.
Thank you.
Jan is here. She's muted, though. Jan, can you unmute and vote? Sorry, go on. Come back to her.
Okay, Eric C. Jacobs was a yes. Avelia Jones?
No.
Okay, thank you. Barbara Marbach? she may have fallen off the call as well.
Still there.
Barbara?
Can you speak up, Barbara?
Yes. Can you hear me? No.
Just barely.
No.
Barbara's a no. Thank you. James Osborne.
You have to unmute, Jim. Go on. Just come back to him.
Robert Payne. Can we get an audible vote? Robert,
yeah.
We haven't heard from him yet either. So on the roll call.
Robert, yeah, we've seen the stack. Payne votes no, but please try to be audible, Robert. Continue.
Lydia Ponce.
She also put in the stack, I vote yes, but we prefer to hear the vote.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Lydia. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas is not on the call. Paul Roberson.
I vote yes.
Thank you. Janine Roan is a yes. Mansoor Sabah. He may not be on the call anymore. Oscar Yoa.
It's a yes.
Thank you. Polina Vasilyev.
Yes.
Thank you. Beth von Guten.
Yes.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman.
I don't know of any closed meeting.
Okay, thank you. I'm going back to Alan Beek.
No, you have to mute yourself again, Alan. Alan, you muted yourself. You have to unmute again, please. Go ahead. Speak up. No, you're muted again.
I think he's voting no. Alan, could you do a thumbs up for yes and a thumbs down for no?
I believe, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, Madam Secretary, this is Bella. He is confused between closed and open, and so is
no,
Harvey.
He's not. Alan, please unmute yourself and cast your vote. Go ahead, speak.
What am I being asked?
Are you voting yes or no for a closed session meeting prior to Labor Day to discuss the finances and personnel?
I'm voting no for a closed
okay.
meeting.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and then Jan Goodman, are you available for the vote? Not sure I see her on the call. Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Yes, on
I
the
see
third
Jan.
Page.
I've asked her to unmute, so I don't.
Damian, I'm present whenever you're ready.
Okay, so James Osborne?
No, for the reasons I stated earlier.
Okay. Robert Payne, are you
this
able to...
This is Robert
to...
Payne speaking, and I vote no on a closed meeting.
Okay, thank you. And Rocio, we don't have Mansoor Sabah. Okay, so yeah, we are missing Jan Goodman and then Michael, if you wanted to vote. That's
yeah, chair votes, yes.
Okay, so we have for a total of 18, 12 yeses, 6 noes.
Okay, thank you. All right, next agenda item is the Outreach Committee. The motion got truncated. Can you state the motion, Bella? Because it didn't somehow didn't get written out totally in the PDF. I think it was a motion about.
This is Bella DeSoto. May I be recognized?
Yes, I asked you to go ahead and
Jan
state
Goodman,
the whole motion.
Can you hear me now?
Now we do. Yes, is that on the vote, Jan?
I've been trying to vote no, and I hung up and called back in.
All right, thanks. We'll add your vote to the tally since you had trouble. Thank you. All right, go ahead, Bill. This is on the motion from the Outreach Committee. I think it was about the on-air candidate forums.
Did she give the results of the votes?
It was reported as 12-6, but it's actually 12-7 in favor. Carries. Go ahead, Bella.
May I be recognized?
Yes, you're recognized. Go ahead.
Thank you. So the Outreach Committee met in July 25, 2021, to discuss several issues. Among, of course, were the ongoing abusive powers executed by several on-air hosts, paid hosts, and other matters. And one conclusion regarding the current election process, which is being violated, a motion was taken. Whereas given the current KPFK LSB elections with a timeline of ballots to be sent out on Monday, August 16th, 2021, yet the KPFK signal area has no clue who the 38 listener candidates are and their positions. Although there have been some Zoom video candidate debate recordings published on a YouTube channel, this information has not been broadcasted to the station airwaves, on the station airwaves. And many in the signal area have no clue, experience the digital divide, and cannot access the internet for whatever the reason. Be it resolved, the Outreach Committee urges KPFK's management to immediately schedule live on-air candidate forums to communicate to the listening station signal on such governance system of the bylaws of the Pacifica Foundation to educate in such process. Therefore, we recommend preemption of prime time across a full week on the programming grid to accomplish such live broadcasts with open call-ins from the listeners. This effort will ensure proper judiciary communication with the listeners and membership. Thank you.
Okay, so in sum, the motion is urging the management to air on-air candidate forums in prime time. Are there any objections to that motion?
Over an entire week, and that will suffice for the 38 candidates.
Are there objections to that motion?
This is Janine to the staff.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to look to see if there is a timeline to do this. I would like to see an amendment that puts a timeline to be by the end of this week, within the first week of the ballots being sent out.
Bella to the staff.
Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, I will. I did not put a timeline there purposefully. I wanted to gauge the temperature here, and I agree with you, Janine. If we do that, that means that both the incoming and the existing IGM must work together to get this done immediately. I agree. So I accept the amendment. The first week, since even the on-air cards have not been aired properly, we need to do this immediately. So the first week, that would start the week Monday tomorrow is when the ballots go out. Thank you.
Okay, so the maker can't really accept the motion, but are there objections to Janine's amendment that this commence immediately this week with the ballots?
No objection for me.
Yeah. All right. Hearing none, that will be incorporated into the main motion that the LSB, rather than just the Outreach Committee, is urging the general manager to immediately this week begin airing candidate cards and on-air candidate forums in prime time. Are there any objections to that? Okay, hearing none, we'll consider it adopted by the body. The Program Oversight Committee, I think, have two motions that were sent out late, and I don't have them on the agenda as a result. Beth, did you want to put those in the chat or read them out? Beth Van Gunten?
Sorry,
I don't see you muted, but...
I was... Hello? Do you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question.
Hang on a second, Lawrence.
When a motion is being presented, how much do I put them on the clock or no? I just wait, right?
For the discussion, the motion, it will take the time it takes to make it and motivate it. Right. Thank you, Lawrence. Go ahead, Beth. All right.
Thank you. So first of all, mea culpa. The Programming Oversight Committee passed these two motions at our meeting almost a month ago, the day after last LSB, and I spaced them out until I reviewed my notes to do a Programming Oversight Committee report today, and there they were. Fortunately, we'd worked out the wording. So the first would be the motion, KPFK Management shall consult listener members in the Programming Oversight Committee in open session with listener participation and input before any major local programming changes are implemented. Other means of assessing listener interests, priorities, and preferences shall also be consulted, including but not limited to appropriate professional listener metric services, the KPFK Community Advisory Board, the KPFK Community Town Hall Forum, or town halls or forums, live on-air call-in programs, as well as direct communication from listeners. Fundraising metrics shall be one of a number of considerations in determining programming and not the sole deciding factor. That would be the first motion. Do you want me to read them both now, or shall we take them one by one? Michael.
Sorry, I was muted. I was looking at your motion. I think we should discuss each one separately. So why don't we have some discussion about that first?
Thank you.
Bella, to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Bella. And then I think we'll take public comment before we vote on this, since we've been holding the public comment for a while, and it's related to the committee reports.
Yeah, I have
Go ahead, Bella. Okay. Bella, then Lawrence. Sorry, Lawrence, I didn't see it.
Yes, I did not finish my report. Regarding the outreach committee, and because the motion was very important, we meet, our next meeting will be the 30th of this month. We meet at 11:30 a.m. Everything is at KPFTX via Zoom.org, KPFTX.org. And then in September, we meet on the 27th, which is the last Sunday of the month again. And we are planning the next KPFK town hall event. It will be a virtual Zoom event again, and that will be in the later part of September. Originally, we were told that the new general manager was coming in mid-August. Then that was moved a month later. So that has impacted when the timeline of our next town hall. So we are planning to hold our next town hall so that it gets enough airtime promotion on the air so we get the widest participation, which has not been the case in the past. They have not been aired properly promoted. So we expect to be working diligently as soon as the new GM comes in. So by the end of September, we can hold our town hall at all possible. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Sorry we didn't let you finish that. The agenda item, however, is the Program Oversight Committee motion to ask for consultation with the Program Oversight Committee and with other mechanisms of listener input before major programming changes are made. Other comments? Lawrence, you have your hand up. Is that to that motion?
Yeah, that's to that motion.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I the question to the proposer of the motion or the Program Oversight Committee. Do you see a possible role of inclusion participating in this process, Ms. Van Gunten? or the committee, how does the committee see that?
Shall I respond?
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, the list here was not intended to be exclusive. It's intended to be as broad-reaching as possible, and especially given that the Committee of Inclusion is yet another body of Pacifica governance, it's completely appropriate for them to have input into this. Speaking from my perspective, so as one of the two authors of this motion, along with Margot Iser, I guess I'll presume to speak on her behalf. We haven't gotten to talk about this yet, but I can't imagine that she would object to it. I would be willing to accept that amendment, and maybe Margot can weigh in during public comment.
I am unmuted. I would like to be on the public comment stack, so thank you. Yes.
I would think that the chair of the PROC has accepted my amendment as friendly. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So please don't call for the stack orally. You can raise your hand and you'll be noticed. I see Bella, and then we are going to take public comment. This before we vote, there have been a number of comments in the chat from John Gary, so I assume he might want to speak. And I see Ruth Strauss, and I heard Margot. So, Bella, go ahead, and then we'll hear from the public before we vote on this.
Thank you. The Committee of Inclusion is scheduled to meet again on September 13th at 4:30 p.m. The Committee of Inclusion has a specific charge, and it was identified by Director Lawrence, who convened that last meeting, that we are to concentrate on the geographics and demographics of the signal area in comparison or parallel to the programming grid. That was the task put forth and everyone agreed upon. If we merge the Committee of Inclusion with the Programming Oversight Committee, I believe will be a conflict of interest and may create other issues, and then dilute each purview of each committee. Thank you.
Michael, can I correct the record? The Committee of Inclusion is meeting on September the 9th, not the 13th, but I announced it in my report.
Yes. Also, Bill, the motion as passed by the Program Oversight Committee says other means of assessing listener interest, priorities, and preference shall also be consulted, including but not limited to, and it names a bunch of things. So there's no reason not to include the Committee of Inclusion in that list. So I had Margot Iser, Ruth Strauss, and if you want to speak, John P. Gary.
Dr. Halley to the stack, please.
Okay, and Dr. Halley after that, and Andrew Weiss. So we have five people, I think. Margot, go ahead.
Yes, I am very much in support of having us, the listener sponsors, people who pay the dues, the money, to be included in the programming decisions. It is because that is the main product of our supposed free speech radio network, is to provide programming that is appealing and attractive and pertinent to the people in the community, and that does include the Committee of Inclusion that needs inclusion. And I think that I really do support this, to make it mandatory that nothing be done arbitrarily by our employees, which are the staff or the general manager. We have to be in control of what they do. And I like the idea of just having surveys and listener calls in and things like that, because we can then find out what programs need to be moved around and to be more accessible and more available. Some have been put on only like on the archives. I'd like to see some of them brought back to prime time because they're extreme on air, because our on air format is the one that's most accessible to everybody, and that needs to be utilized to the best possible way. So I really truly support this, and I'm glad it's been brought up today. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I have Ruth Strauss, Andrew Weiss, Sue Cohn Johnson, and John P. Gary III, if he wants to speak. Otherwise, we can read some of his comments from the chat. Ruth, go ahead.
Yes, hi. A point of information. Does the whole LSB get a copy of this motion so that they can actually read it?
Yes, it was sent to the LSB, and it was read by the chair of the PROC.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So I'm not going to, you know, repeat that, but I am going to perseverate on this business that in January, most of us, or at least I did, filled out a 40-minute survey for annual fields. And so we already have some information, and that survey he never reported on, and we've never seen the results of it. So I really implore somebody on the committee to try to find, or the LSB to try to find the results of that. I mean, we can certainly have town halls and do things prospectively, but we even have a treasure trove of information in that 40-minute survey that every, you know, hopefully a lot of people filled out, that right now it's up in smoke and it needs to be retrieved. The other thing I wanted to say is I just got, I think everybody got this email blast about Dr. Robert Franklin, who has gone to KPFT, and he sounds fantastic, and he's got a lot.
You're out of time.
Yeah. Okay. I just hope he can have input to our station. Thank you.
Then Sue Cohn Johnson and Colin User 3.
Yes, Jonathan on the stack, please.
Yeah, you're Colin User 3.
Okay.
Go ahead, Andrew. Unmute yourself.
Yes, I'm sorry, I heard you call out Sue. This is Andrew Weiss, listener member for over 30 years. I strongly support on-air candidate forums for the LSB, and I expect that from our management and our station to provide that to the listeners on-air with open phone lines for the listeners to call in and interact with the candidates and ask them questions themselves. After all, we're the ones that are being represented and are voting for these candidates. Someone needs to mute who is coughing, please. Please extend my time. We need to ask the questions ourselves of the candidates and hear the responses and have it archived. To have it just on YouTube is not good because there is a digital divide that is racist and classist. Many low-income people, particularly people of color, do not have access to YouTube and to the internet. We need it on the radio where people can listen to you while they're driving, while they're doing everything. Now, the Pacifica Listener Forum has taken it upon ourselves as an independent group to supplement candidate forums, not to replace them. We did a candidate forum a few weeks ago with 15 candidates from around the network, including 9 from
the KPFK. Mr. Weiss, you're out of time. Mr. Weiss, you have time. I'm sorry.
Can I extend it a few more seconds to finish up, please?
Quickly.
We that is available to anyone to listen to, and we expect the station to step up as well to do on-air candidate forums as we've had in past years. Thank you very much.
Okay. So that's a Pacifica Listener Forum at gmail.com if people want to get in touch with Andrew and that call. Sue Cohn Johnson and then John Markowitz.
No, Dr. Hattie was supposed to be before Andrew Weiss.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Go ahead, Dr. Halley. I didn't see you. I'll need to rename you. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, people. First of all, I'd like to compliment the board on pushing for on-air candidate forum coverage in the immediate future. Absolutely vital. Number two, I'm solidly behind Ms. Van Gunten's two motions. I guess that's pretty much it. I think these three things are absolutely vitally important. We need to have strong representation of the listenership on a regular basis, including call-in programs, different forms, including call-in programs. I guess that's it. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. And then John Markowitz and Yoshio.
Thank you. You can include the words, we urge
strongly, and or else you are showing that you are against democracy in Pacifica and pro-ignorance. We urge strongly, or else you are showing that you are against democracy in Pacifica. You can leave that part out, but pro-ignorance if you don't approve this. Not to the LSB, but to the management. As part of your motion that you're trying to pass right now, urging management strongly. Thank you.
John, and then you.
Okay. First of all, I'm looking at the motion that Beth and Margot, Beth forwarded me by email. There's two motions here. The first one. Okay. Is there a date that Beth and Margot are suggesting that this begin? And let me ask you this. My concern about this is that at this moment, I think this motion is an excellent idea, both of these motions that Beth and Margot have put forward. However, at this moment, currently, as far as my knowledge, there have been no on-air candidate forums or carts played at KPFK, and to my knowledge, that's also the case at the other four signal areas. Now,
yeah, you got on the call late, John. We already discussed that matter, and we passed a motion regarding it.
But you're taking up my time. Okay, I'm very concerned because at this point, as of the August 12th Pacifica National Board emergency meeting, the chair of the National Board and other board members, and also it seems that the interim executive director, are actually uninformed as to what degree that local station board members have been able to get to the airwaves in any of the five signal areas. There were statements made by the chair, Alex Steinberg, that the NES, Renee, was definitely making this happen, but Alex is either uninformed or he's misrepresenting the situation. So any effort by the local station board at KPFK and other station boards, but especially the national board members, and that includes Beth, need to deal with this, the lack of on-air access of the local station board candidates at KPFK specifically. So I think it's absolutely appropriate that the executive director step in and make sure that Renee is able to facilitate these local station board candidates being able to get to the air. I am in support of Beth and Margot's motions, but not precluding what I just discussed. Thank you.
You are
done. Yeah. So just to reiterate, we did pass a motion along those lines a little bit earlier in the meeting. Yoshio, go ahead. Yoshio, you need to unmute yourself. Well, he's not unmuting. There was a bunch of comments in the chat. I'm trying to go back. He doesn't want to speak, but I see it's in the chat. I guess he has not a public comment. Management decides when on-air town hall happened. Fine. You said the LSB had a Zoom town hall earlier this year. You could have said if and when there's another one planned for this year by the LSB, two town halls mandated by the bylaws. Getting info should not be like pulling teeth. Please give complete info next time. Thanks. Otherwise, someone has to keep asking more questions. Is management planning to do monthly reports for the listeners? Is management or LSB planning to send out updates on the station via email a few times a year? So, again, you got on late, Yoshio. We are doing now a weekly email newsletter from the LSB. If you want to subscribe to that, send a blank email to SYMPA, S-Y-M-P-A, at lists.riseup, R-I-S-E-U-P, .net. And in the subject line, write subscribe. KPFK LSB News, all one word, KPFK LSB NEWS. And you'll be subscribed to a list. You'll get a weekly email from the LSB regarding upcoming meetings. We did announce from the Outreach Committee that there will be a second town hall. Management does not do town halls. The only responsibility for town halls is the LSB. The LSB does two town halls a year. We did one. It had to be virtual. I think we will again request that the next town hall, which probably will also have to be virtual again, be on air as well as on Zoom. But that's up to management to determine. The public comment from John Gary was that the best way for the Program Oversight Committee to have input to the programming is by inviting the GM and PD to a discussion with the committee. I just want to point out that there is currently no PD at KPFK. We're going to go to a vote on the motion. Janine is going to call the roll. This is on the first motion regarding urging or mandating or directing or asking the KPFK management to consult with listener members. I'm not sure why it does say listener members. The Program Oversight Committee is not only listener members. It's open to staff as well. I would strike the word listener members. I understand the main purpose is to get listener input, but none of the committees of the LSB are exclusively listener committees. KPFK management shall consult with the Program Oversight Committee in open session with listener participation input before any major programming changes are implemented. Other means of assessing listener interest, priorities, and preferences shall be consulted, including, but not limited to, a long list. Fundraising metrics shall be one of a number of considerations in determining programming and not the sole deciding factor. Other objections to that motion? Okay, hearing none, that's adopted. The second motion from the PROC. Beth, you want to read it?
Yes. I wanted to comment or to reply to the previous comment that about or questions about the survey that Anyel conducted in the past. I have heard from the current interim general manager that they have looked for that material and that it's nowhere to be found.
Okay, thank you. We have, I'm sorry, Beth, we have 6 minutes left, so please read the motion so we can get that business done. We have a brief reports from the other committees.
The next motion, then, is the KPFK Programming Oversight Committee requests that all pre-recorded and or rebroadcast programming be identified as such before and after each broadcast, along with the original date of production. And there are two, I provide two examples there. And again, that's from Margot Iser and Beth von Glinton. And it passed the Programming Oversight Committee without objection.
Yeah, thanks. So that is a committee motion. Whoever introduced it to the committee passed it. Too many different screens open. So are there any objections to that motion? I see a hand up from Eric and Bella. We already finished public comment, actually, for this because we used it up on the other motion. Eric, quickly.
Necessary, Michael. I would move to extend our time by 15 minutes to do concluding business, if necessary.
Okay. Is there any objection? Is there any objection to extending time for 15 minutes? That would be till 1:45. Okay, hearing none, we will extend. Thank you for that motion, Eric. Bella, did you have a comment on the committee motion? Bella, you have to unmute.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to express or explain that the PROC, the Programming Oversight Committee, has various members was how was this motion formulated if it only came from Margot Iser as the listener member? Where are the rest of the members of that committee, including myself, who is not aware okay. of this motion?
Okay, as I pointed out, the motion is not from those members. The motion is from the committee. The chair of the committee reported these were adopted a month ago, and she neglected to include them at the governance committee meeting. They're not motions from Margot and Beth. They are motions from the committee, and they should be treated as such. They don't need a second. Is there an objection to the motion as stated that in this case, it would be the LSB requests that all pre-recorded or rebroadcast programming be identified as such before and after each broadcast, along with the original date of production. For example, this program was produced July 14th, 2021, for broadcast or rebroadcast at this time, where this program, this has been a rebroadcast of an earlier production from July 14th, 2021. Are there any objections to that motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll consider it carried. Fundraising committee.
Go ahead. The next programming committee meeting is tomorrow, the 16th, August 16th at 4 o'clock p.m. Thank you.
Okay, everybody hear that tomorrow, the 16th at 4 p.m., presumably via Maestro conference. Information will be on kpfdx.org as it is for all other meetings. And there is no report from the fundraising committee because the fundraising committee has not been functioning. And I was asking if someone else from the board could be a convener to reconvene that committee. I think it's vital that we resume that committee. Robert Payne, I know, had some very constructive ideas about fundraising via YouTube, and we can get advertising revenue on podcasts and YouTube content, and I'm wondering if Robert might be willing to convene the fundraising committee to develop those ideas further, or if there's somebody else on the LSB willing to reconvene the fundraising committee.
Oscar, if I may.
Oscar, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, in this case, I'm wondering if, on new business, I was about to propose a motion or create an advisory board, an advisory committee regarding fundraising on air and on different, pretty much just have a spreadsheet of stuff ready for new GM. As a staff representative, I've been getting a lot of mostly complaints, really unsatisfactory comments from a lot of my fellow programmers. So I'm wondering if probably we, instead of proposing a new committee, just to kind of use this one as to that purpose.
Okay. Are you saying you have a motion that you want us to consider today, or you want to?
For new business.
Okay. All right. Bella, you have a hand up. Is that in regard to the fundraising committee? And then Janine also. Hang on a second, Oscar. Bella, did you want to?
No, I did not have my hand up for this item.
Okay. All right. Janine?
I just wanted to mention that Robert Payne is commenting in the chat that his ideas conflict with the mission statement, and I'm wondering if he could comment on that, because I would love to see a committee put together to try to a task committee, task force, whatever. Robert, are you able to, that if the LSB remembers the email exchanges where he suggested buy this book button on websites and programs, the IGM refused to consider the idea. I'm wondering if you could jump on, Robert, and explain. I, too, think that there is a lot online we can be doing. Certainly, I would love to get an internet, somebody who is used to fundraising on the internet and marketing eventually. But right now, it's probably on us and volunteers to kick something off. So I'm looking to Robert to explain what can and can't be done.
Okay, thanks. I see Beth and Lawrence have their hands up. Is this on the question of the fundraising committee?
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
I just want to be sure that there's a moment left at the end for a report from the community advisory board. I'm not looking at the agenda right.
All right.
Thanks. Won't this take more than a minute.
Okay. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you, and I hope Michael forwarded you the information on the past community advisory boards all the way dating back to 1999 that I sent to him, Beth. So in regards to being able to share ideas, I think at this point in time, it could be determined what's going to be mission-driven, Robert, and what may not be mission-driven. I think the discussion of ideas is what's critical. So I hope that you would consider convening the committee.
It is 1:30. We set that time to escape.
So we added 15 minutes, Mr. Beek. There was a motion to extend for 15 minutes, passed without objection.
Okay. So
thank you.
I see that. I see that Mr. Payne wants to be unmuted. Anyway, I think I know. On the national level, we discuss ideas and figured out that some ideas are not within the mission and it conflicts with the mission. I think having that conversation is important. Thank you. I believe Robert wants to be unmuted, our chair.
If I can.
This is Robert Payne speaking.
Go ahead.
The idea of a community as large as Los Angeles being unable to support KPFK is impossible. There are so many books discussed on the radio. There are so many records played. There are so many speakers who self-promote on the radio. There must be a way of sharing in the income generated by this intellectual exchange. Also, our competitors on the radios of Los Angeles feature food programs, travel programs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There must be a way of enjoying income from the community, the large community of Los Angeles and the world.
Okay, thanks. So those are terrific ideas. The question is, are you willing to convene a committee to put together a proposal along those lines and bring it to the LSB? And then we'll, I see comments in the chat, but regardless, that's the question on the floor. It's not what the methods are at the moment, but can you convene a meeting of the fundraising committee to discuss them and bring a proposal back to the LSB, which we'll discuss?
Okay, when is this fundraising committee?
Up to you. Pick a date, and we'll
do it via email.
Okay, thank you. All right, moving on. So the community advisory board is on there. Can you briefly tell us about the next meeting, Beth?
One moment, I got to turn to that page. yes, this is like four-line report. The community advisory board met on the same day as the programming oversight committee, whatever day that was, last month. This was an effort to restart our community advisory board, laying out a plan for compliance with CPP requirements. It resulted in an excellent discussion, and all required meetings have now been posted on the calendar for the entire next year. The next meeting will be October 18th at 7 o'clock p.m. As posted on KPFTX with access information. Thank you.
Okay, I'll just add that we might try to convene another meeting sooner than that. We did invite Dan McCrory, who had previously been the chair of the KCET cab. He had a wealth of information. We got information from Lawrence Reyes, who was previously on our local cab. We shared a lot of that with each other. So I think we're going to pursue this idea of building it. If you have recommendations for people who could participate on a cab whose main mandate would be to conduct a community needs assessment, please communicate them to the chair. You can reach me at mnovick.kpfklsb@gmail.com. So Oscar has a motion on the new business. Oscar, is there a chance you could put your motion in the chat?
Have my hand up.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I will be withdrawing, and I'll hope to get in touch with Robert Payne and
okay.
Work with him. Kind of round that up to what my idea was. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Lawrence, you had your hand up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just real quick. I think the board members, the other three board members are okay with getting the cab going. But I think once the chair or convener is elected that's independent of the LSP, then we should step back and just realize that that's not our role to micromanage. Not that anybody is, but not to micromanage and interfere with the work of the cab.
Okay, so there's a statement in the chat from Kim saying LSP is not supposed to interfere. That is not, in fact, the case. If you read both the CPB and the bylaws, the LSP has a role to play. There was a PNB mandate that the LSP seek to convene a cab and get it into operation. That's what we're doing. It's not the restrictions on the cab, not on the LSP. The cab is not allowed to be involved in governance functions, but the LSP actually has a role to play in making sure the cab convenes and carries out its business. There's a motion from Janine. It's a new business. She was asked to draft the motion and did. The KPFK LSP calls on station management to immediately provide a report assessing whether a complete membership list has been properly forwarded for balloting in the current local station board election. So that's a new business item before us. Are there any objections to that?
I just have a request for Michael.
Go ahead.
We have passed many motions try to move the station to address this critical need of being able to inform our listeners. And we have one that established policy. Is this somewhat of a duplication of a paper tiger without any teeth?
I think it's a matter of going on record that it should be done, and we'll take it to elections committee and other places, but as far as policy across the board and implementation, but I think we should go on record trying to make sure that the management is providing what it's supposed to provide. Janine, you have your hand up? You want to motivate your motion? No. Beth? Bella?
I just didn't have any way to put my hand down, so.
Okay. Bella? You have to unmute yourself,
yes,
Bella.
I was muted. This is Bella DeSoto. I wanted to add regarding I support Janine's motion. I wanted to also mention that since the last meeting of the Committee of Inclusion, which was on 8-9, I sent out minutes of that meeting to Director Lawrence Reyes, who convened the meeting with notes and a link to the Community Needs Assessment Survey. and I wrote him, and I also text him. So we keep speaking about doing the survey, but this survey has been reformatted to make it accessible, and I published it on Google Docs with a link to him so that if he's going to be incorporated, if the Committee of Inclusion will be incorporated with the PROC, that we can all be working on the same page. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Your hand back up, Lawrence?
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge and thank Bella for sending me those links. I also had a bunch of stuff from 1989, Bella, in regards to the CAB. So I just want to acknowledge that I received it, and I will be looking at it before the next meeting. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to thank everyone. I see that Sue Cohn-Johnson's hand is up, but we actually exhausted the listener comment. You want to make one last comment quickly? Go ahead.
Pass.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That completes our business. I think there were no objections, as far as I heard, to Janine's motion, so we'll consider it adopted. And I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move, Lawrence.
Okay, thank you. Any objection to adjourning? Hearing none. Mr. Markowitz. Go ahead.
Yes, I have one question about these two motions that were just adopted. Is that correct?
The two motions from the PROC were adopted, and then a new business item that was adopted calling on the management to provide proof that accurate listener member lists have been provided to the NES for the election.
The Programming Oversight Committee motion was adopted. Was there any announcement as to when this may actually happen, or is that to be decided in the future?
Well, we have to talk to management to get them to do it, but I will do so on behalf of the LSB, since these are now LSB motions, not just PROC motions. The earlier motion that you missed, John, there was a call for on-air candidate forums to be aired immediately and during this week, candidate carts and candidate forums to go on air.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella. This is from
the outreach. Right in the middle of asking, completing my question, Bella. Hold on, please. So, again, I'm absolutely adamant about stipulating that no Programming Oversight Committee open meeting on air with listener call-ins at this point be scheduled until we have adequate LSB candidate access to the air already completed. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. The motions had nothing to do with having the Program Oversight Committees on air. The motions had to do with having the management consult with the Program Oversight Committee and other bodies before making programming changes. Bella, what was your point?
Yes, I noticed that the public got confused between the outreach motion to demand immediate on-air forms and carts and everything else for the candidates versus the two recent motions from the PROC. So I wanted to identify that when you speak of that motion. It came from the outreach committee. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I was explaining to Jonathan, because he came on the call late, that we already passed the motion, which, as you said, is from the came from the outreach committee, but is now a motion of the LSB. So all those motions will be communicated to management after the end of the meeting. All right, thank you, everybody. I think we had a very productive and
thank you, Michael.
I think people's participation in general was much better.